Hear the word of the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord richly bless this, the reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much, Marie. So, last week, we began exploring Paul's little letter to Philemon. In the passage that we read last week, Paul is sending Onesimus, a fugitive servant, back to Philemon, and he is requesting Philemon, his harmed superior, to welcome him back. Have you ever been harmed by someone? I know that you have, because we all have, at one time or another, been harmed. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe relationally. What do we do if they ask for our forgiveness? Do we forgive and forget? Do we trust but verify? Do we seek some sort of retribution or restitution? Do we exact revenge? I guess maybe a better question is asking, what would God want us to do? In this passage, all the power is in Philemon's hands. Onesimus is figuratively at the door with this letter in hand, vulnerable to the presumptions and preferences of the man at the door. And before Philemon is given the opportunity to act, however, Paul offers him in the concluding words of this letter three things. The first thing that Paul offers Philemon is a substitute. Philemon is offered a substitute. If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Receive Onesimus as you would receive Paul. Paul, he says, is a partner, which is a commercial term. It's not a biblical term. It's rarely used in the scriptures. It is much more used, this particular term, is used by the society in general. It was that you would be a business partner. You would be a trusted associate. You would be, as Paul describes Philemon, and now Philemon is being asked to think of Paul in this way, as a faithful co-worker. Paul starts this letter. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, his brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Now Paul is upping that from fellow worker to partner, to equal. And he says, Philemon, I'm asking you to treat this one-time subordinate at least as an equal, at least as a partner. Treat him as you would treat me. And then Paul ups the ante and says, not only am I offering you a substitute in person, but I am offering you a substitute in restitution. Because he goes on to say, if he has done you any wrong, if he has harmed you in any way, or if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Again, he was not to exact anything out of Onesimus. Paul tells him to charge it to him. Another commercial term. Not a biblical term, I mean it's in the Bible, but not a spiritual term, but a business term. I will pay the bill. Now, whatever justifiable claim that Philemon had is to be put to Paul's account. And if he truly needed restitution, Paul assures him that he will personally guarantee that he is made whole. How? We don't know. After all, we know that Paul is in prison, can't have livelihood, isn't earning any money. Now, it is likely that Paul had some wealthy benefactors that probably could provide. But really what Paul is saying is, my name and my word is what you are receiving. Not Onesimus's name and Onesimus's word. Because at this point, after verse 18, Onesimus is not referred to again. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Anything he owes you, I will pay. From now on, this is not between you and him. This is between you and I. You're not receiving him, Paul says. You're receiving me. You're not charging him, Paul says. You're charging me. Paul stood in as a substitute. And even more so for us who follow Christ, we need to recognize that Christ does the same thing. He stands in as a substitute for unreconciled relationships. That it is not the person who has harmed us, but it is the Christ who lives in the person who harms us. It is not the one who shows up seeking forgiveness, it is the one who follows Christ, who comes before us seeking forgiveness. Receive that person as you would receive Christ. Treat that person as you would treat Christ. Because we too have been offered a substitute. The second thing Paul says is, Philemon, you're being offered a strategy. Verse 19. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Say nothing about the fact that you owe me your very self. Philemon, in the midst of this request, is given a strategy for how we ought to deal with unreconciled differences, unreconciled relationships, unreconciled worldviews, unreconciled problems, unreconciled grievances. Not only are you to remember the debt that someone else has toward you, but you are to remember the debt that you have toward others. He's indebted to Paul for his spiritual life. Indirectly or directly, we aren't sure. Seems that Philemon has come to faith through the church in Colossae. Now, whether he knew Paul personally or through his writings or through someone who was mentored by Paul while he was in Colossae, we don't know. It's possible that they don't actually know one another because Philemon is not a son in the faith like Onesimus was. So it might only be indirectly, but what he's saying is, I, as an apostle to the Gentiles, as a messenger to the Gentiles, as a person that came and shared the faith with those who shared the faith with you, you ought to be doing this simply because of who you are now and what I have given and what I have sacrificed, Paul says, so that you may have the blessing of eternal life. It extends to the fact that he is indebted to Christ for his eternal hope. That Christ paid the price and the penalty for his sin. I shared with you the gospel. You owe me. But you also owe the one to whom the gospel reveals. Imagine the debt that you had. And we repay him by living for Christ. It's the same lesson we learn from the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Person has a small debt with a coworker and a huge debt with his superior. And the superior, the king, calls him before and says, I'm going to cancel this $1 million debt. And he's like, oh, I'm so grateful. And then he sees the coworker who owes him $10 and says, if you don't pay me that $10, I'm going to throw you in jail. When the king finds out, he says, that's not the right heart. That's not the right attitude. I am instituting your debt, and you will pay off every cent of it. We forgive much because we have been forgiven much. And that's the first part of this strategy. Philemon, remember what you owe to God before you start exacting what is owed to you. The second thing is that Paul says, refresh my heart. Philemon verse 7 says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. This is the same term. It's literally not heart. It's innards, intestines, guts. It's the seat of emotion. He says that Onesimus, Paul said earlier when we were looking at this last week, that Onesimus is his very heart. And that he's refreshing, Philemon's refreshing the emotions, the spirit, the joy of both the saints, and now Paul, and now Onesimus. Paul wants Philemon simply to do what he has been doing. Don't treat Onesimus differently than you treat everyone else. I have heard of your love and how it uplifts the saints. Treat Onesimus the same way. Treat me the same way. Paul expects him to continue what he has been doing. So Philemon is given a strategy. Embrace forgiveness, express loving kindness, and even more so for us who follow Christ. We ought to remember how greatly we have been forgiven and offer forgiveness to those who have harmed us. Replacing that bitterness and hurt with loving kindness and grace. That's our strategy in resolving and restoring unreconciled relationships, hurts, lifestyles. Finally, Philemon is offered support. Verse 21. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Philemon is given words of encouragement. Paul is confident that Philemon will act in Christian obedience. He will do what Paul says. And he will do what is beyond what Paul says. Now, many think that Paul is really saying, Philemon, what I want you to do, I want you to welcome Onesimus, restore Onesimus, and as an act of restoration, free him to return to me. Now, we can't be sure of that. It's too much to ask. That's why Paul says, I know you will do what is right and even more than what is right. Can you imagine hearing, I am confident of your obedience. I am well aware that you're going to do what is right. I read in preparation for this morning a story which I don't know is true or not, but there was a clerk in Thomas Edison's laboratory, testing laboratory. And Thomas Edison was working on the incandescent bulb, got it to work, gave it to this clerk, this boy, said, take this, be careful, bring it up to the testing lab upstairs. You know what the boy did? Dropped it shattered it. About a month later, when they devised a second prototype, do you know what Edison did? Called the same exact clerk. Said the same exact thing. Take this up to the lab. Be careful. Don't drop it. Didn't say, I don't trust you. Didn't say, you messed up last time. Now don't mess up this time. I'm confident that you can do the job. How encouraging is that? And how many times can we do the same thing? That we can say, I am confident that you are going to do what's right. I am sure that you're going to do what's right. Faith is forged through encouragement. And then he goes on to say one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I am confident as well that I am going to come back to Colossae, that they are going to release me from this house arrest because of your faithful prayers and the faithful prayers of the church that gathers with you in your home. And when I do, I want you to be ready for me. And I'm sure that's true. But there's also another side to this. I'm not 100% confident, but I'm 95% confident that Paul is also saying, what am I going to find when I come back? That there is an opportunity within community to support one another, not just with encouraging words, but with accountability. Do what you're supposed to do. I'm confident that you will. And when I come back, I will see that my confidence, my presumption is not based on ignorance. And then he lists other people. People that no doubt Philemon knew. Epaphras sends his greetings. Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke. My fellow workers, just like you. We've talked about you. We've said how confident we are that you're going to do what's right. Part of being in community is holding one another to our greater selves. To demanding that we do the work. That expecting with prayer, with support, with encouragement, with teaching, that we will be able to see the fruit that comes from faithfulness. There's a great story of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Russian writer who spent years in a Siberian prison. At one point, he had become completely discouraged and decided to give up and die. His plan was to stop working out in the field, to lean on his shovel and wait for the guards to come and beat him to death. However, when he stopped, another prisoner reached over with his shovel, quickly drew a cross at Solzhenitsyn's feet, and then erased it before the guard could see. But it was enough. Solzhenitsyn later said that his entire being was energized by that little reminder of the hope
and the courage that we have in Christ. And he found the strength to continue because a fellow believer cared enough to remind him of what was possible with Christ. And really, that's what Paul is doing here. Philemon, it is not only possible, but I know that you will do this and even more. And we will get together one day and celebrate God's goodness through this. Philemon had support. The encouraging word and the encompassing community. And even more so for us who follow Christ today. We have immediate access to all the promises and provisions of God, as well as access to his people who are able to support one another in righteousness. Our sermon in a sentence is this: when called to reconcile, Christians can always do more than required. We can and should be like Philemon, who surely did more than Paul demanded he do. Equipped and inspired by the word and the assembled church, Philemon likely did all that Paul requested. Received him, related to him as a brother, forgave him, worked with him, and even more. Otherwise, I would think that this letter would not be in the canon of Scripture. When Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to encourage this sort of behavior, God knew Philemon's heart and the reception that that word would get. And while we can't be positive that Philemon did exactly that, we can be positive that that's what God desires for each of us. We can learn from this letter and do the same. We are all like Philemon. We all have, whether it's because of our gender, or because of our education, or because of our property, or because of our stature, we all have power. We all have privilege in one way or another. Able to refuse, but compelled to reconcile. And we can also receive and relate as siblings and forgive and move forward in Christ. We can do all that and beyond, to the glory of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with our spirit. And when we are called to reconcile, all Christians, including us, can always do more than required. Shall we pray?